faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from another world who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. But before we join Superman, here is an important message.
Fellas and girls, every day the city, state, and national offices of civilian defense organizations are swamped with letters from young people like yourselves. And most of these letters ask, what can I do, what part can I take in the national war effort? Now, the writers of these letters are all too young to join the United States Armed Forces, too young to join any of the numerous home defense groups. And yet they ask, isn't there something we can do? Some of you listening now are no doubt among those who have written these letters. And I bet many of you who have not written have thought the same thing. Well, the answer is a very simple one, and here it is. You can do your part in civilian defense. You can help win this war by buying war-saving stamps regularly. Cut the Nazis and the Japs. So, next time you hear some boy or girl on your block say, oh, shucks, what difference does it make if I buy one stamp or not? What difference can one dime make? You tell them that it does make a difference. It makes a big difference. Tell them, for instance, that 5 dimes will buy enough fuel oil to take an American destroyer 1 full mile closer to its objective, or that 1 dime will buy 5 .45 caliber bullets. Tell them that if every boy and girl in the United States bought just 1 10-cent war-saving stamp every day, it would add up to enough money to buy a lot of swift pursuit planes with which our Army and Navy forces could blast the Axis out of the air. And while you're at it, you might remind them that this is one way that all you fellows and girls can help to win this war. Now, after all, everybody can't join Uncle Sam's armed forces, but all of us can buy war-saving stamps. So talk it over with Mother and Dad tonight. Tell them you want to help Uncle Sam win this war by buying war-saving stamps regularly, every single day if possible. And I'm sure they'll be glad to cooperate.
And now, the adventures of Superman. Superman and his companions in adventure, Jimmy Olsen, Lois Lane, and editor Perry White of the Daily Planet, are now on an expedition headed by the eccentric Dr. Leander Cameron to find the lost continent of Atlantis, believed to be lying at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. In our last episode, we heard how Dr. Cameron's multi-depth submarine and bathysphere was attacked by a Nazi U-boat, and how Jimmy Olsen was critically injured. Superman saved our friends from harm, and carefully holding the injured Jimmy under one arm, grasped the Nazi sub with his free hand and flew with them to a Navy base 600 miles away. We resume our story today at the home of a Navy doctor at a certain American naval base. Our scene, the living room of the doctor's home. The doctor is seated in a chair reading a book as the telephone rings urgently.
Yes? Yes, it's Dr. Crane. Lieutenant Forbes calling from the basin. I'll put him through. Hello. Yes, Lieutenant. What's that? A man dressed in a red cape and a blue... brought an enemy submarine in and left it. Flying. Carrying the submarine in his hands. Now, Lieutenant, have you been... He's on his way here. But that's impossible. No man can fly without a plane. Now, wait a minute. There's someone at the door now. I'll call you later.
All right, I'm coming.
Yes, what is it you...
Great Scott. A man in a red cape and a blue
suit. No time for descriptions, Commander. This boy is critically injured. You've got to do something.
But where? How?
Please, Commander, I'll explain later. Right now, this boy is critically injured.
Good gracious. What is it?
A fish.
A fish? Well, I don't see anything but 2 big white eyes and rows of long teeth gleaming in the dark.
That, if I'm right, is the Gunnestoma pelican.
Really? And what might that be?
A pickerel.
A pickerel. Now, look here, Leander. I am a freshwater fisherman. I've caught many pickerel in my time, and they don't look like that.
The Gunnestoma polypus is the saltwater cousin of the freshwater pickerel. It lives a mile below the surface of the ocean. This fellow is 40 times bigger than any pickerel you've ever caught, Perry, and his teeth are also 40 times bigger. Notice how they shine in the dark?
You mean they're luminescent?
That's right, Mr. Kent. From here on, we shall see nothing but luminescent fish. Fish that shine in the dark.
Well, I should think that would be quite necessary in this inky blackness.
Look!
Look, isn't that pretty?
Oh, yes, Lois. That's a beauty.
My heavens, look at the colors in that fish. Red, green, yellow, blue, and all lit up. Hey, it looks like a swimming Christmas tree.
Wonderful, isn't it? Let me get to the phone. I want to tell Nicodemus about it. Nicodemus?
Yeah?
Nicodemus, did you see the Anthromolecus nucostalsis?
What? You're crazy.
What do you mean?
That was a Mictophan punctatum.
You are out of your mind. That was no Mictophan punctatum. That was definitely an Anthromolecus nucostalsis.
These zoophyctite fins were much too long, and any fool could see the Lemurian scales were much too close together.
You're just stubborn.
Oh, look. Look.
What is it?
That octopus. Wrapping more and more tentacles around the sub. See there. The suction cups against the window. Oh, it's horrible. It's revolting.
Oh, Clark, please.
I can't die like this without a chance to save myself. I can't just stand here waiting.
And for heaven's sake.
I can't stand it, I tell you. I can't stand it another minute.
Catch him, he's fainting.
Oh.
The lights have gone out.
Yes, Clark's hand must have caught on the light switch as he fell.
Well, I know where the switch is. I'll snap the lights on again.
Yes, Payne, hurry, hurry.
Oh, wait a minute. Here we are. Leander.
Hey, what is it?
Why, the switch has been ripped out of the wall. I can't turn the lights on.
Oh, fudge. Kent must have held onto it as he fell, and the weight of his body ripped it out. Well, since we're going to die, I suppose it don't matter much.
Oh, dear, if only Superman were here.
He couldn't do a thing, Lois, and you know
it. Oh, yes, he could. I don't know how, but Superman could find a way.
Superman has found a way, Lois. You and the others think that Clark Kent is lying at your feet in the dark. But actually, Clark Kent has become his real self, Superman. Slowly, carefully, stealthily in the dark, his hand reaches toward the handle of the door that seals our friends in the compression chamber. He turns the handle.
What was that noise?
Sounded like the handle of the door, but it couldn't be that.
No, of course not.
But it is, Lois. And now Superman's job lies before him. He has got to open and close the door of the compression tank in less than 10 seconds. He has got to open it against the tremendous pressure that exists outside. Can he do it? He must do it. And he does. And even though the entire operation has taken only 2 seconds, Lois, Editor White, and Dr. Cameron gasp for air and feel their heads growing dizzy from the effects of the pressure.
What happened?
You know, I feel dizzy. My head is swimming.
Yes. Feels to me like pressure. And I thought I heard the door open. I thought, no, impossible. Couldn't be.
My head's clearing now a little. My eyes are beginning to focus. Mr. White, are you all right?
I think so. I got a pain in my head like a throbbing headache, but otherwise, great heavens.
What is it, Mr. White?
Why, it's impossible, though. No, it couldn't be.
I see what you mean, Perry. My head's beginning to clear, too. The arms of that octopus are sliding along the wind as if something were dragging him away from it.
Well, you're right. The suction cups are straining to hold onto the glass, but look, they're sliding off.
What was that?
What?
Didn't you see it? That flash of red and blue out?
Giant eel.
It's a devilfish, an octopus, a giant octopus. Yes, by heavens, and it's seen us.
A giant octopus?
Oh, 40 to 60 times larger than the ordinary octopus. Parrot, we must get away from it. We must.
Are we starting toward the surface?
Yes.
Hadn't we better turn off our searchlight?
No, the octopus can see in the dark. We can't escape him that way. Pray to heavens he doesn't come after us, that he really doesn't see us.
Beginning to move up toward us from the depth.
I'm sure it's moving toward us.
Those tentacles. Look at them. They're as big as fire hoses.
He's seen us. We're in a bad spot, I'm afraid. A very bad spot. The phone. Nicodemus.
Yeah?
Nicodemus, what do you think?
Well, I think he's going to come for us, Doc.
We must do something.
Is there anything we can do, Nicodemus?
Nothing, except trying to keep away from him.
Then why don't you? We're not rising very fast.
What's the matter with you? You know I can't rise any faster than the compression tanks will take it. You want a case of the bends?
Rather a case of the bends, Nicodemus, and no body left with which to have them.
Nah.
That thing will crush us like an eggshell if it gets a hold of it.
It's coming up fast. Tell you what I'll do, Doc. I'll level out and try to get away from it that way. Can't do it by trying to reach the surface.
No, don't do that. Keep rising. We may be able to reach a depth where the giant octopus can't go.
I never thought of that.
Keep surfacing, then. We'll see what happens.
What did you mean, Doctor, when you said we'd reach a depth where the octopus can't go?
Well, you see, Kent, these fish live at great depths because they're accustomed to them. They build up an internal pressure that reacts against the external pressure. In brief, they can...
Commander, just give me that gun. Come on, you two, Hunt. And I'll... Come on.
Superman, thank heaven you've come. Jimmy.
Yes, oh. I know. Mr. White, Dr. Cameron, bring Jimmy up on deck.
Yes, of course, right away. Come on, Leanne.
Yes, coming, Paige.
Oh, while they're getting Jimmy, I'll take care of the commander and his aides. First, the commander. Come here, you. Come on. Now, you two stooges.
Get me down! Get me down!
Up! Up! I'm going to drop you down through your own conning tower, Commander. One at a time. You'll land inside your sub and advise you not to show your nose outside of it again until we reach the American naval base I have in mind.
American naval base? No, you can't.
Oh, can I? We'll see. Here you go, right down through the conning tower. Now, you, Hunt. Now, it's your turn, Adolf. Happy landing. There's White and Dr. Cameron bringing Jimmy up. Back to the deck of Dr. Cameron's sub.
Better take it easy with the boy, Superman. He's in a bad way.
Yes, I can see that. I'll handle him gently. I'm going to drop that Nazi U-boat off at an American naval base about 600 miles from here. There must be a surgeon there who can take care of Jimmy, if I'm in time. How's his pulse?
Very low, I'm afraid.
I mustn't waste time, then. I'll just place Jimmy...
Before you go.
Quickly. There isn't time for talk.
Clark Kent. The commander shot him and he fell into the ocean.
Well?
He's below us somewhere. Is there anything you can do about him?
No, I'm afraid not. I have time now. Jimmy needs a doctor at once. You'll have to look for him. Now I must go. Up! Up!
Oh, we may never reach that 3-mile limit, and the sub's been weakened, and the pressure may crush us in any moment.
What was that?
The motor stopped. Oh. Nicodemus!
The water's got to the batteries, Doc. The motors have gone dead. You know what that means, don't you?
No, not exactly.
The compressor sending air into these compression tanks work off separate batteries, but they're going to go any minute.
Great Jupiter!
What is it now? We can't have any more trouble than we've got.
Oh, can't we? Nicodemus tells me that the batteries controlling the compressors will be the next to stop working.
Well, what are the compressors?
The compressors are the machines that shoot compressed air into these tanks. Once they stop working, we'll all die of strangulation in less than 5 minutes.
If we're not crushed to death before that happens.
Yep.
Isn't there anything we can do? Must we just sit here in the dark, just waiting, doing nothing? Oh, if only Superman knew what has happened now.
Well, he's got his hands full out there with that octopus.
Yes, that's right.
Nicodemus.
Yes?
Gauge reading.
2 miles, 12 fathoms. Sinking fast.
What did he say?
We are now 2 miles and 12 fathoms below the surface of the ocean and sinking fast. There's no doubt whatever in my mind that there's nothing we can do now. This is the end.
Never before have our friends been in such a dangerous and futile position. There is literally nothing they can do. And what of Superman? Dragged down into the ocean depths by the fearful mammoth octopus, will Superman overcome the monster, or has even he at last met his match? Be sure to be with us tomorrow for one of the most exciting episodes you've ever heard. Listen every day, Monday through Friday, same time, same station. Tune in and follow The Adventures of Superman.
Don't forget, fellows and girls, as you read the thrilling stories of American victories on land, at sea, and in the air, just cheering our fighting forces isn't enough. We've got to give them more support. We must show them we're behind them by buying all the war-saving stamps and bonds we possibly can. We've got to sacrifice some of the things we'd like to have so that the money we'd spend can be loaned to the government through purchases of more and more war-saving stamps and bonds. So let's show the boys on our fighting front that here, back home, we're doing our share to win this war by buying a war-saving stamp every time we've got a dime and by telling our family and friends that this Christmas we'd rather have war-saving stamps and bonds as Christmas gifts than things we can do without. Keep in mind that a stamp a day will pave the way to victory.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look! Up in the sky!
It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Superman!
Follow the adventures of Superman every day, Monday through Friday, same time, same station. Superman is directed by George Lothar and is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
This is Mutual.